Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And welcome back to another awesome episode of Behind the Anvil. Today we are joined by Richard Kaufman, the legend, the one and only podcast host of the, and my mind just went blank. It's been a short night, Richard. What's the name of your podcast? Vertical Moment. Sorry. I apologize. I just murdered that intro as usual. Richard, go ahead and introduce yourself, give us a little background on you, and we'll talk about your book and your mission and everything else in between.
Hey, guys. My name is Richard Kaufman, also known as The Comeback Coach. I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran, retired disabled veteran. I'm also an author, speaker, coach, and I help veterans that are looking to find their mission again. That's my whole mission in life now, is to help veterans find their mission after service.
That's awesome. So what led you to get in where you're at today and bring and start your podcast? Well, for me, it was on a podcast with Kevin on WB Creates a few years ago, and then got introduced to our friend, Dr. Garcia, and been wanting to do this for a couple of years and kicked the can down the road a little too long. And so I said, forget it. We're going to just go ahead and do it. And here we are.
Well, I started out, originally, I just started out reviewing products like Rain Energy drinks for my GNC, and I would just try products and make reviews out of them until I got hurt on duty. Yep, Rain. I'm drinking Celsius. Thank you, Celsius Energy.
That's good stuff, too.
But what happened was I got hurt on duty, and I lost my vision, or I lost about 80% of my vision. And I sat in a chair for 18 months doing nothing but sitting in a chair in the dark until Tammy Moses said, hey, Rich, you're the comeback coach. It's time for you to come back. And I didn't know how to come back. And she says, well, you have a phone and you can tap the record button, right? And I said, yep. So I joined Anchor, well, Spotify back then, it was Anchor. And I just started recording my daily life for a podcast. And then I started interviewing people like me that had to come back from injuries, had to come back from jail time. And that's when the whole podcast really blew up, is when I just started interviewing people that went through the struggle but came out on the other side.
You told me a little bit about your ordeal there. For those who, if you feel comfortable, would you kind of explain what happened? Mm-hmm. In your injury?
I was actually backing up a Humvee, an up-armored Humvee, and I was doing the hand and arm signals, and the driver that I had was a young private. So when I told him to hit the brakes, he actually hit the gas and ran over my head and the whole right side of my body.
Ouch.
And it caused me to have an ocular stroke, and that's why I'm still 60% blind to this day. But I shook it off. I got up off the ground because back then I was jacked. I was using supplements. Can't say which supplements, but I was powerlifting.
Not the good kind.
So I mean, I got off the ground and shook it up like nothing ever happened until about 30 minutes later, everything started going black. And that's when I lost my vision. And that was 2009 is when that happened.
That's been a minute. That's been, well, 16 years, I guess, because the daughter turns she'll turn 16 this Sunday. Man, that's been quite a few years. She's
Yeah, well,
old.
it happened in 2009, but they had me in med hold for 3 years. So I didn't retire out until 2012.
Happy. And I'll bet you that was kind of a pain in the butt because, I'm not a veteran. I've never served, but my father's a Vietnam veteran, as we discussed before. He's never done anything with the VA, wants nothing to do with it. And from talking to gentlemen like yourself and several other friends who've gone through the VA system and older veterans, it's gotten bad. Some have good reports and some have bad. Sounds like you could do your own dental work easier at some point.
Well, I mean, for me, I've been blessed. The VA's been really good to me. I've been truly blessed. I got my VA disability benefits first time, which is rare. I love my VA. I've had the same doctor and the same therapist for 15 years now. So I'm one of the few that has no complaints with the VA. I know it's rare to hear, but I think also because I'm favored by God, that God gives me all the blessings, and I think that's a big part of it because He blessed me with people in my life, even the doctors, the therapists. So I've been blessed.
Right on. And I've heard that. I've heard it. And it depends on your VA where it's at. If the people there actually really give a damn. I mean, we've seen horror stories over the last 10 years of stuff out of certain VA hospitals and such in the news. Is it true 100%? I don't know. You hear those horror stories and you kind of wonder, Again, that's outside looking in. But, patience with me, folks. It was a short night. We got home about 1 o'clock. I took the daughter up to and her friend up to a comedy show last night. First time they ever been to one like that. It was a pretty good time. Just a long drive back home. Of course, them two are out in the back sleeping. Of course, here I'm driving. Got to drive through the middle of the night. So, so on. You say you were sitting on the couch and your friend reached out to you and said, "Hey, grab your phone, get it recorded." What was your And you said you did a little bit of a reviewing and products, but what really got you to where you are today? What really motivates you to do better and harder?
I got to give credit where credit's due. If it wasn't for a chance meeting with Gary Vaynerchuk, I wouldn't have become the comeback coach. He actually named me the comeback coach. He told me to start a podcast. He told me to write a book. So if it wasn't for Gary Vaynerchuk, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. But for me, I figured that podcasting is my way of serving still. Even though I can't serve, on active duty anymore, I can serve it with my podcast. And I think that's what my podcast does. It teaches people, even veterans, first responders, it teaches people how to come back from whatever you're going through and find a mission again. Because I find that whether it's bladesmithing, whether it's podcasting, if you have a mission, you're less likely to take your own life if you have a mission and if you have people counting on you. And that's right. I'm taking the pod. That's my goal for the podcast, is to help 30 million veterans and first responders find their mission again.
And which, again, outside looking in, I've never had to deal with anything like that. Growing up watching dad. And that's where bladesmithing, I think, has really helped dad over the years, is able to focus into that area. And just, I've heard him talk to other people growing up and everything. When he's doing that, everything else melts away. He can focus on that. He's producing a product, and that has helped him work out a lot of stuff over the years. And I had a thought there for a second that I was going with, but it's ADHD more, so please bear with me, Richard.
And I gotta say, I gotta thank you. I use your knife every day. Your
Awesome.
knife is the only knife that I have that's out in my garage that I'll use.
I was gonna
So I
say
want
it's
to see.
probably time for a little bit of a touch up on that blade, which is pretty easy. I mean, if you can use a ceramic rod to kind of touch that up, or you can use a strop to just kind of strop that edge if you know how to strop properly. That's one thing. I use grinding my belt grinders. Hold on, some of it, go away, Facebook. Sorry about that. Facebook popped up. I forgot to close that out earlier, and people messaged me. It's like, oh.
Cause you're important. That's what it is.
Well, I don't know that unless somebody owed money or someone needs to send a knife out or two, but I don't know about the importance part. No, just kidding. Oh, heavens. It's thank God for caffeine, you know what I mean? It's starting to
Yeah.
slowly kick in. So on your podcast, you invited me on, which was a great time. How many episodes you've gone down so far on your podcast? And
I think we're up to episode 1500.
wow.
Some stupid number. But that includes Facebook Lives that I used to do every week. I did a Facebook Live every week with guests. That includes Spotify. We're up to, I think, 3 million downloads on
Nice.
Spotify and iTunes. And it's all because of the guests. It's not because of me. It's all because of the guests,
I need to
like
catch
yourself.
up. I need to catch up because, yeah, I just started this a few months ago. I think this will be episode number 16 so far, and I space them out once a week.
Well, did you know that if you do more, if you do 13 episodes or more, you're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the world?
No, I did not know that.
The average podcast lasts 13 episodes.
Really?
So if you're past that, you're in the top 10%
Woo-hoo!
of active podcasts.
Oh, cool. I think so far about half of the podcasts I've done have dropped. I schedule them out a week at a time. But yeah, hey, that's good to know. I'll keep hammering away. As we say in the shop, keep hammering away at it,
Yeah.
pun intended. Speaking of Facebook, he had a mishap with Facebook because they done whatever they do, basically wiped out all your platform that you worked over. Have you gotten that back yet? Are you still trying to get them to? Because I know,
Still
go ahead.
trying to get it back. They wiped out 15 years of work. They wiped out all my Facebook. I had a Facebook group, 10,000 veterans. They wiped out all my Facebook groups. They wiped out. I was getting paid from Facebook. They wiped that out. So
Ouch.
I literally had to start from zero friends and zero. I had to start from some scratch. But the good thing is, once you know how to do something, it's like picking up, if one blade breaks, you're like, okay, I pick up another one, I know what to do with it.
Yes.
And I'm back up to about, I think, about 2,500 friends. And I think this month alone, I think we have almost 700,000 views on Facebook.
Nice. Sometimes you just got to strike the reheat another piece of iron and strike a little faster. Usually the second time around I'll make it, and let's keep it up blade wise, is the second time making the same blade comes out twice as better, twice as sharp, and more deadly. So basically, like you say, you come back coach, you're coming back on the Facebook, on the Instagram, and all that fun stuff. I thought about I can't seem to get past. I'm around about 4,400, give or take, on my knife page. And for some reason, I just can't seem to break that 5,000 mark. I don't know why. Maybe I need to do a little bit more. But I did get a notification from Facebook the other day that since I've been doing better content, which I have been doing a little bit more daily, more reels, and I kind of can't plan that out. For me to sit down and plan stuff out like that is. I'll get ADHD and I'll be distracted by the star or something like a cobweb hanging on the wall there. What do you do for when you get in moments like that? You know, some people, Some people are really good planners. I'm kind of a planner on the fly. Like when I'm grinding or I'm forging, I'll have an idea popped up. Poor Kevin and Brad. There's a Facebook group, a messenger group chat we have, and they get inundated with random ideas. So what do you do? I mean, are you one of those guys who can sit down and plan that thing out, or are you kind of like me and just kind of plan on the fly? That's kind of how I do things. I need to plan, sit down and plan out stuff more and overcome that kind of handicap, whatever you want to call it, hang up and actually sit down. What are your best advice for people like myself or others who want to get into this, do what you're doing, either pick up a hammer, pick up the phone, and like you said, come back, redirect themselves in a new mission, give themselves some purpose. What is your best advice?
Well, I mean, if you're, I can only speak from podcasting because that's what I do now. But anybody can do this for their business. Go to ChatGPT, write in there, create me a 90-day workflow for my business that I can use Monday through Friday, and give me daily to-do lists. Like for me, I did that and I just copy and pasted it. I put it into my Google Docs. So now every morning I go in, oh, okay, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I have to do this. From 11 to 1, I got to do this. From 3 to 5, I do this. And from 5 to 9, I do this. So I take all the guesswork out.
Nice.
And ChatGPT is free. So it'll create a 90-day work plan. It'll tell you exactly what to do. And all you have to do is follow it word for word.
And then, that sounds pretty simple, but there's days that, for like myself, there's days that like I'll go out in the shop and I'll sit around, I'll look and I'll go, all right, I got that I gotta do. I turn over, I got that to do. I got that to do. And that I've done a little bit of the ChatGPT. I use it to do a lot of posts because me and grammar and spelling and pronunciation, we're getting to the big words here this morning. It's not the best. So Kevin introduced me a while back to ChatGPT, and I think he's regretted it since because I get these round ideas for promotion, and I'll send it over to the group chat there, and he's like, I don't read on half of those anymore. It's just, he gets too much because I'll be laying in bed or something, have a couple of ideas. I'll throw it in ChatGPT and throw it over there. When I throw it over there, that way it's somewhere I can go back and get it. And maybe a little bit annoy Kevin a little bit. It's fun though. It is a great tool for somebody like myself. And I think people get a little too worried about it. I mean, some people say it can you rely on it too much, you get a little dull in the senses, but for me, my challenge is try to put that in correctly to get to kick it back out for what I'm really getting in my mind into words, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and ChatGPT, I mean, it's only as good as your input.
Yes.
If you whatever you if you put in garbage, you're going to get out garbage. But once you start using, I use the paid version. I think I pay $20 a month, whatever it is. It learns me. It learns my speech patterns. It learns my thought processes. So once you start using it more and more, it starts sounding more and more like you. And you if you use it as an assistant and not as a crutch, then you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
But if you're using it just for a crutch, like I know a lot of people, they'll have it spit out a speech, but when you come to answer questions, to ask these people questions, they have no idea what they wrote about.
Right.
So I mean, if you have to know what you're writing about, and you have to check over it. You have to make sure that it's coming out with the stuff that's proper. Because it makes mistakes.
Oh yeah, proofreading. Kevin likes to remind me of that every now and then. I'm not picking on Kevin. He just likes to point that out because I sometimes get a little, my brain's a little faster in what I should be catching up to. So let's speak about AI and everything else. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and such, and a lot of things. People are, out there, and you see the chatter on Facebook and Instagram about AI and. What are your thoughts on AI? I mean, is it going to be our overlord here in the near future, kind of like on Star Trek, on original series, Laranjo, the computer that controls everybody, and every now and then picks a random a person to be basically vaporized to control the population and such. Do you think that's going to be a possibility, a Terminator situation, or
No, I think it's going to be like the same people that are buying your knives. They can buy knives. They can go to Sears and buy a knife. They can go to Walmart and buy a knife. But once it's something is in the hands of a professional, then it's always going to be there. It's kind of like the people that said, "Oh, once the car comes around, life is over," because everybody that owned horses said, "Oh my God, life is going to be over because now we're putting the horses out of business." Same thing. If you're going to have people that are going to know how to use AI, they're going to be so much further ahead than people that don't want to learn it. But
And
if you know, but if you learn to use it, like the way I look at it, and I tell everybody, when I go to my doctor, I don't go see my doctor when I get there. I got to see the nurse. I got to see the nurse practitioner. When I go see my lawyer, I got to go see the middleman before I get to go see my lawyer. So AI, if you use it as an assistant, like everybody else has an assistant in this world, you're going to be all right. But if you're not using it at all, you're going to get left behind if you're not using AI. And it's easy to use and it's affordable. I mean, some of them are less than $100 a month that you can do almost anything you want for less than $100 a month, so it's affordable.
One thing I've kind of heard, and I'm curious, what's gonna, if I hope you don't mind me brush this but subject of AI. Some people have worried or made concerns that I've listened to, like I said, a few other podcasts, that it's gonna cause certain people, maybe in our youth, who in their critical thinking skills. What do you think about that? I think like any technology, cell phone or anything, there is a good, it's a double-edged sword, good and with the bad. I think we just need to teach our kids how to manage it properly, if that makes any sense. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's good because of kids play video games, they know how to solve problems. Because when you're playing these video games, you have to solve problems. And I think with AI, if they learn how to ask the right questions, because all when you go to college, all they're doing is making you regurgitate stuff. So it's same thing is going to be with AI. If you put in the right prompts, you're going to get the right answers. So if you use critical thinking to get the right prompts, you're going to be okay. But if you're if you put in 100 dumb questions, you're going to get 100 dumb answers.
And I guess you could kind of, it's like Google search before then, I mean, you still got to put in the right question. And because you could put in a question and it's going to come out, they're like, whoa, wait, this is nothing near what I wanted. All right, go back, rewrite it. Kind of like that. AI is learning pretty fast. One thing it is doing, it's gobbling up a lot of energy. I've been listening, I'm really fascinated, have been for years. I grew up listening to the Art Bell back in the day, Coast to Coast AM kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. And they've kind of touched on the energy and different type of nuclear reactors and such. The new thing is that these small mini reactors, they're starting up, and listen to a couple different podcasts on that. Fascinating stuff. If I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, you're out in New Jersey. How far away are you from that Three Mile Island? That's not
Yeah,
that far.
we're not very far. We're probably within 30, 45 minutes.
I hear, I think a lot of us live too much in the movies and such, like of AI, all the Terminators. This is how Terminator started. I think we've lived, sci-fi is kind of living in our brain a little too much. Yes, we do have a little bit of a domain over our own existence, but I think our mind and our imagination gets away, especially when it comes to AI and nuclear meltdowns and such. What are your thoughts on any of this subject? And I'm probably going left field. It just popped in on this. I go squirrel, so bear with me on this. I'd like to get your thoughts on all that, the AI, energy, and how that's going to affect podcasts, because literally there's been videos you pop up. I even seen a few podcasts that are completely AI. What do you think about that?
I mean, As far as energy goes, I think we have to use common sense. I mean, and I think that's with anything, we have to use common sense. And we have stuff called faceless podcasts where it's all AI generated. And that's okay as long as people know, hey, I'm watching AI generated content. But there's nothing wrong with it because there are certain people that they'll watch the movie Avatar.
Good point. Good point.
And it's all AI or CGI or I'm a low tech redneck, so it's it's a lot of it's AI and CGI. So as long as you know, okay, I'm listening to a podcast, but it's all AI generated, that's okay. As long as you know what it is.
And
And
I
as
think,
far as
oh, go, sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished there. Go ahead.
and as far as everything else goes, I'm a believer. I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe he's in charge of everything. So I'm not even worried about half the stuff that people worry about because I know where I'm ending up. So this is just a ride for me.
Right. And you're right. I believe in Christ myself. I consider myself a man of faith. I'm probably ought to do a lot better in certain parts of my life and everything. And it's kind of for those who kind of maybe might not have that strong of faith, once you have that, everything kind of, yeah, there's you still have that worry, day-to-day worry, your task and everything else. But when you have that, everything seems like just roll with a punch, kind of just go with it, not have to worry about it as much. There's a word I'm trying to pull out of my brain right now, and it's not going. But when you have that kind of faith, you don't sweat the small stuff, I guess you could say. And that's what a lot of this is. I think every well, we're all everything in society right now is all hyped up on all levels, and it's. You ever watch those videos where guys go out in the woods somewhere and just start chopping down trees and they build this little ground hut, one or two room little ground. I tell you what, I get a did I've kind of get watching that a little too much and I'm starting thinking, how nice would that be to be able to just completely unplug?
And that's why me and my wife, Mike, we go on 3 or 4 cruises a year where there's no internet for a week straight and we just decompress. And I think it's okay to unplug. Like for me, 6 o'clock at night, my phone gets shut off, it goes in a draw. I don't pick it up until 6 o'clock the next morning. So for me, it's okay to unplug. There's time to play on my phone. And then there's family time.
And that's
And
time management. Time management, and what's most important in your life, and is it really this and all the social media really all that important? We grew up in a day when we didn't have this. I mean, the phone had a cord. Sometimes those cords are like 20 feet long, and you try to close on your other sibling and such. So,
but
I
you know,
guess.
like Gary Vaynerchuk says. Like when we were growing up, our parents were sitting in front of the TV, or they had a newspaper they were reading, or they read books or had magazines, People magazines sitting around the house, TV Guide. So all we're doing is just switching one thing for another. So it's nothing different. Our
True.
kids aren't doing, like our parents said, oh, those kids. We're looking at our kids saying, oh, those kids. And our kids are going to look at their kids and say, oh, those kids. It's the same shit. It's just a different way of, watching content.
Yes, definitely. And it's up to, and if you're a parent and such like that, don't let your kid just hand them a pad and not, be a parent. Give them a few minutes a day or whatever. I don't see nothing wrong with it. My daughter's been a little too much, and I've been all right. I said, like when we drive to school, it's like, you know what? Why don't you just turn that off? Let's listen to the radio or listen to the car or something in the morning. Let's go for a ride. Turn that damn off for a minute and just enjoy the ride. Look out the window because life will definitely pass you by. Now she's turning 16 Sunday. Of course, this last week, oh, I'm gonna be old drama. Oh, I was going somewhere else with it and I left that. But let's steer back to your book. You You're writing a book or wrote a book?
I wrote two books.
Two books. What's good? Let's dive into those, unpack that. Let's get off of my squirrel moment and keep me more focused here.
Well, the first book was my life story. It talks about how I came back from drug addiction, alcoholism, homelessness, almost going to jail for 5 years. And then the last two chapters are, what does depression looks like? It's not what you think it looks like. What does addiction looks like? It's not what you think it looks like. So that was the first book that hit number one on Amazon. And
Nice.
then my second book is about podcasting. The three P's of podcasting: purpose, power, and profit. Because if your podcast is not purposeful, it's not going to last. If your podcast is not powerful, nobody's going to listen. It's not going to last. If your podcast isn't profitable, it's probably not going to last, because eventually, if you're married, your wife or husband's going to look at you and be like, you're putting all this money out, but you're not making any money. Maybe it's time to quit. So that's why I wrote the book about how to start a powerful, purposeful, profitable podcast in 90 days.
Nice. And that dives in where to start, how to go build it up from there, correct?
Well, I actually had somebody that, and I wrote that, he got the book by at breakfast time. By 6 p.m. at dinner, he had a podcast and it was up on Spotify.
Nice. And I had a little help with getting direction on that. Have a good day, girls. Sorry, they're heading out the door, so sorry about that.
No, it's great.
Parent
Gotta have
time.
parents' time, baby. That's what it is. It's all about the important stuff. That's the
Yep.
important stuff.
And I've had to learn for the last 10 years of I've had my daughter only on weekends and such like that. She's here full time now. And I'll tell you what, that's been a learning curve. It's like, all right, gotta learn to live with somebody the first few months. Usually she's here in the summertime for 6 weeks. That's fine. But usually at the end of the 6 weeks, you're like, all right, go back over here. We need our spot time for both, because we're kind of the same personality type on that. It's kind of funny. She is basically a better, but a female version of me. Kind of, it's got
Well,
my attitude.
my daughter is 100% me, so I totally get it. That's why me and her butt heads, because we're the same person.
Yeah, you ever get that? You know, something comes off you like, oh, that is so me. I'm just like,
Every
oh.
day, because she has my smart ass. She makes smart ass comments, and her mother goes, "You know where she gets that from, right?" And
Right.
I'm like,
Oh yeah, but as grandchildren are the grandparents' revenge on their children.
I'm not there yet. Well, hopefully it's gonna come someday, but I'm not there yet.
I better be at least 10 years away from that. I've threatened all both kids. It's like, you make me a grandfather before I'm 50. Yeah. I'm 40. I don't feel up here. It's like, wow, I'm still like 20 years ago, but it's weird. I'm surprised I've made it this far alive, but I've done stupid stuff at, cut myself with a chainsaw with one leg, knife went in the other leg, and I ventilated my belly here a couple of years ago right in front of a customer. That's an interesting story. I shared that a while back. Poor gal. Is there any other books you're working on? Anything, any projects? I know you're building your social media back up.
Yep, I'm building. The reason I'm downstairs, my boys have the whole downstairs, and my daughter has the whole upstairs. So I'm actually building a studio as we speak. I'll be
Nice.
working on that next week. So I'm building my own podcast studio. So that's what I'm working on. That's the big thing, is building a podcast studio. This way, I have a place to go. I don't have a workshop yet, but I bought a. We built a 10 by 12 shed, which we're going to be doing podcasting from, and have all my guitars out there. So
Nice.
when things get a little bit hectic, I can just go out, plug in a little bit, and have some fun and relax. So the podcast I'm working on, I got actually have a great interview coming out next week with one of today's brightest country music stars.
Ooh.
And we're talking about Charlie Kirk. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about America. So I'm sure that next week that's really going to blow up. Because no matter which way you're looking, we're talking about being red, white, and true. So I don't know how that's going to go,
Oh, I
but
like it. I'm looking forward to that.
yeah. So that'll be, and this gentleman, he actually played the Grand Ole Opry. He opened up for Brooks and Dunn. So he's actually a really up and coming country artist. He's more country rock, which I love. He's country, plus he's also hair metal.
Ooh.
So it's going to be interesting. It comes out. It'll be dropping. Actually, going to be dropping tomorrow.
Ooh, I can't wait to I'm you yeah, I'm very curious. I'll have to check, keep an eye on that. Where are some of the various platforms they can find you? I'm sure you're like me. Your podcast goes out from Spotify. I'm on Apple. I'm on the RSS platform,
Yeah.
right?
Well, people can also find me because we also do video. So we do shorts and we do, so we're also on, when I release an episode, it goes out on 35 different platforms,
Nice.
including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Tumblr, Flickr, TikTok. So it goes out on 35 different platforms because people, they devour content different ways. Some
Yes.
people are visual, so they'll only watch YouTube. Some people are audio, they'll listen to it while they're driving in their car or on their way back home from work. So if you're going to be somewhere, if you're going to be present, you need to be omnipresent. And that's something that Dr. Robert the Warrior Strategist
Yes.
Garcia talks about, that if you're going to be somewhere, you have to be everywhere.
Everywhere. And that's what I'm working towards. I found for me, I've got to take everything in steps. One thing I'm trying to get, one of these days I need to sit down. My daughter's a lot better with his computer stuff than I am. I'm good with my phone. I need to start cutting out clips of episodes and start dropping clips to help promote this up and everything else. And we're trying to figure that out. What's best advice for doing something like that?
Find a professional. I actually work with Gus Gonzalez. I can't call him Gunny anymore because he's about to be promoted, so I can't call him Gunny anymore.
Yeah,
But
I heard he was a general there for a minute.
he's going to be a master sergeant.
Believe so.
So he's getting promoted, so I can't call him Gunny anymore. But he has a business where he actually helps. I send him my videos. He breaks them up into 60-second clips, sends them back, and I put them out on Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that. I know I'm not good at it. I'm a low-tech redneck. So we started something called the Triad, where Gus Gonzalez does he does all videos, and Robert Garcia will actually do a press release. So if somebody comes on our show, they have the option of getting a press release done for their show,
Nice.
five videos made for their business, all in one shop.
Ooh, I like that. I like that collaboration with others. We do that a lot from time to time in the knife making world. Everybody's like, I started making knife classes. Done started teaching knife. No, not making knife classes. Sorry. I started teaching knife making classes here a few years ago, and I had a few people like, "Oh, you don't want to do that. You're gonna create too much competition." I was like, I looked at it, I was like, "You do realize there's over f like 5,000 knife makers in this country, let alone worldwide, from all different levels of knife making." In my profession, people are buying, not only are they buying my knife, but they're buying me. They're buying
Yeah.
my name because that's what you are your product. And I try to make my knives the best that I can. Right now I'm doing I had a buddy of mine, we got talking. It's like, you're back into full time. Yeah, it'd be cool to make one knife and get that $500 bill out of it in less time there, but with the way things are in the world right now, there's a lot of people out there, can't afford that $100, $200, $300 knife. But hey, $50, $60 knife, not a problem. And that's what I started doing. And I got thinking about that. And I, after talking to my friend about that, And I just kept having that feeling that you get those feelings with the prompting with the spirit and everything. I was like, you know what? I'm like, all right, I'm hearing it. So I started doing that. They've been going pretty good lately. Sometimes they sell, I put them up for auction. A lot of times they sell higher than what we were kind of our budget friendly, with a sheath like $70. They've been going, end up going a lot higher than that, and that's awesome. I am definitely, I'm not going to complain.
Well, I think like, Alex, like I learned from Alex Hormozy, you should always have three different offers, at least three different offers. You should have, your basic bottom line knife, then your middle of the road knife, and then you need to have that one stupid knife that you would, if he said of for $500, you should have a $1,000 knife that, even if it's one person buys that knife, it's going to help pay for all those little knives that you're making. You should
Exactly.
always have that one stupid offer, because there's 12% of the people will take the stupid offer.
Right.
So even if you just have that one knife that's the ultimate in its own box, its own case and everything, own glass case, somebody's going to buy that.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the 12% of buyers, that one person will buy that knife, and it'll pay for the rest of all the other little knives.
Exactly. And that's what I've been trying to do. There for a while, I was focused on the high end and everything else. I was doing a lot of knife making classes. It's kind of run its course a little bit. I get picked up. I need to probably push that out in a little bit more market. I want to dive into probably try getting advertisement in like travel magazines for people that when they're traveling. Airbnb used to have a thing, and I think they closed it because they had issues with people not having the liability insurance like they should have for their experiences they had. But again, I could be wrong. I haven't looked into for a while. When I found out about it, I started looking and trying to set up account. But at that time, they paused that because there were people that were not getting the liability insurance for that, which you should. If you're in any kind of business, you offer that, like if especially horse riding, knife making, I had that for a little bit. I've kind of set it, I dropped my insurance because it wasn't paying for itself. I did up my homeowner's insurance because my shops are here. My shop are on my property. And my insurance guy says, hey, we can just bump up $10 a month and you'll be covered, which saved me, that saved me $55 a month by doing that. So I still have that coverage. It's not as good as a million-dollar policy in case you get sued or whatever. So far, thankfully, knock on wood, there hasn't been any accidents or anything really. I've don't do as near as much as I used to when I first started it, because I figured if I'm going to teach knives, I'm going to teach it the way I was taught, and that's good if somebody wants to come and be a knife maker. I did an interview here a while back with some friends out of Texas, Phoenix Knives, Cowboy, and his wife Eileen. And he made a health suggestion on that, and I never th thought about it. It's like, if you're going to be a knife maker, I'm going to teach you the way I did it. You're going to do exactly as I do it, because if you're going to do it, you're going to go out and you're going to need that those skills. But you got those people that just want to come in and say, hey, I made this knife, look at me, which is awesome, which is really great. And he's got a they've got bevel jigs, and I'm sitting there like, I never thought of that. I never occurred to me that. It's one thing that's nice about the talking and collaboration and such like that. And he offers knife classes. And I'm going to start doing that for those people that just want to come in and have that knife, that experience of making that knife. Where a lot of people struggle on is the grinder. Some people get hesitant. They just like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and watch and video and take pictures. I'm going to watch you do it for me. And I'm all for that. I love doing that. I think it's a little more fun if they have, but now we have some tools to make that experience a little bit better on the grinder for them, and not have, and it's definitely going to reduce the risk of any injury for sure. Yeah, hope that
Well,
makes
but
sense.
the thing is with you is you are your product.
Yes.
And even Gus talked about it in his lives yesterday. You are your product. Like, anybody can go to a knife maker and ask him to show me how to do it. But when you can go to somebody and I can say, wait a minute, this guy was on Forged in Fire. This guy was on TV. This guy knows what he's doing. He's
Well, I
been
like to
there, done it. So you have something that most people don't have. And that's what you should, that's where you should be making your bread and butter, because you've proven yourself already.
Well, I appreciate that. I still got a long ways to go. There's some different levels of knife making I'm trying to break into, more into the I want to start doing a little bit, and I have a little bit to a point. No pun intended there. I'm more on the mosaic style of knives, and where it's get a little higher, more of the artistry. I'm really liking it, and I'm slowly building myself up there because I got to build that confidence level up to do it. I'm pretty sure if I sit down and do it, I could probably come out with something pretty close to it. I've got a lot of friends. I pick their brain and such. I just need to sit down and do it. But like when it comes to time management, we were talking earlier, set out your goals and everything. And that's what I need to do is, work on the stuff that's going to pay the bills and take care of everything, and then work in. And I have actually been a little bit doing. I've got a dagger out there. I'm kind of rotating through the process. I've got another knife I'm working on that I got to work on today a little bit. I got a photo shoot coming up. A friend of mine, she's coming out to do a photo shoot. I do a little bit of boudoir photography with my knives and such, which is fun. Learning how to get that
I
shot
like the
in.
I personally I like the knives with the scales that you came out with.
Just trying to think of the scales.
It looked like fish scales on them.
Oh yes, the steak knives. I delivered those to the individual on those. I got another four to make for him. Them are pine cone. Them are really wild stuff, aren't they?
Yep, I mean, I think they're probably some of the most beautiful knives that I've seen you make
Oh,
so
thank
far.
you. Well, when you're gonna cut, I figure if you're gonna have a nice piece of meat, a good steak and such, you need a darn good knife to cut that.
Yeah.
Even though if you cook your steak right, you shouldn't need a knife anyway. So I kind of went off on another tangent. I apologize, but bringing it back into making stuff, making things happen. What for you? What is some of your motivation that keeps you going?
Knowing that we have a certain amount of time on this earth, knowing that the average American male lives to 78 years old, I'll be 57 this year. That means I got 21 years left to make the biggest impact I can on this world. And of course, for the afterworld. So I want to make sure that I get as many people in heaven as that can bring with me. But I believe when you wake up them every morning, you need a purpose. You need a mission. And sometimes, like yesterday, I woke up, I got up, I got out of bed, I got my daughter off to school, and I went back and I took a nap. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to listen to your body and be like, okay, I'm not all in today, and it's okay. Sometimes you need to take that break. Like I'm going away with my wife next weekend for husband and wife weekend.
Nice.
But I think that waking up every morning with a purpose, it gives me something to look forward to, and knowing that people are depending on me, and that there's somebody out there that might need to hear some hope. And if I could just give them a little bit of hope, then they might not take their lives. So
Yes.
that's my whole thing, is waking up and hopefully I can impact somebody.
That's awesome. Oh heavens. I know I had some more questions there. The caffeine is finally starting to kick in a little bit. I'm not lagging as much, but I need to I'm one thing I'm working on is doing a little more structure and trying to get me some questions, but I and print me out some or have it just here on my phone and such. But any recommendations for me, just out of curiosity, how we're doing here so far? Yeah, I'm gonna say it. You are the master at this. You've been doing a lot more. You built really. I try to catch your podcast as much as I can between all the other stuff I listen to. I like to listen to a lot of things, a little bit of talk radio. I like a little bit of politics sometimes. Only particularly one show really. After that, I tune it out and go to other things.
I think that I love the background. I think I love that. I think you're doing well. I think you have that podcaster voice. If
Definitely
you
got a face for radio. But yet they put me on national TV. Sorry, Richard. I had to say.
know, I think you're doing well, and I think you have a different angle on stuff that you can talk a lot of different subjects. You're not just nailed down to one niche.
Thank you. And that's kind of what I wanted to do behind the, and I had different names for it and everything else. And then I was using ChatGPT to kind of help me come up with different names. I come up with one, and then something popped in behind the anvil. And I think for me, behind the anvil is like when you're not in the shop or you're behind the anvil thinking while you're working. There's a lot of things I want to do with this. One, yes, I want to help people. I want to spread a good message. I want to spread a message of Christ to people. I like to talk to a lot of different subjects. I like a good conspiracy. And I'm actually going to ask you here in a second about a good conspiracy theory that you think it's wild. I like Bigfoot stories. Like I said, I listened, grew up. Did you ever listen to Art Bell and Coast to Coast back in the day?
No, I didn't. But I used to love like the shows that talk about Bigfoot, the monster, all the monsters, and all that. So I love that stuff. I think that's still that one picture. Still, it gets people to this day, even though it's one picture 50 years later. Still, people are still talking about Bigfoot and Sasquatch.
Well, if you have never listened to Art Bell, you can go research it. Art Bell, Coast to Coast. I guess you could say he was kind of the trendsetter of what we do today, back on radio and everything. He gave a lot of platform, and I think if you once you listen to that, I think you're going to be hooked. I love like every now and then I'll go find a good one or UFOs or whatever. I like to talk knife making on here when I can, but also, like I said, I want to explore different subjects and everything else. A few people's like, well, shouldn't you just talk about knives? Like, well, if I talk about the same thing, it gets kind of boring. You got to mix it up. I guess you could say it's a mixed bags of fruit behind the anvil, I guess.
Well, but you also have some great people, Kevin, then the brothers, you got the brothers, and I used to love their show, Double B Creates. So you have a lot of mentors to look up to that can throw advice your way, that have been there, done that. And I think having a mentor is so important.
Yes, and we did a team up last spring. We did WE Creates with MDK. We did I think about 8, 9 episodes, give or take. I think that sounds about right. And then them guys just they're switching gears. They've done their podcast for quite a few years. They're getting into different levels of things. Brad's getting into custom rod making. Kevin is starting to push his business solution, KB Business Solutions, build that up. I think I'm rubbing off on him about working for himself and not working for somebody else. The last year I worked two different jobs over the year because I had to because things were just not moving for the shop and everything, so I had to take care of things. That was kind of a hit to my ego, but I think that was kind of a lesson I needed to go through. Putting the fire of, hey, maybe I took my business for a little bit more granted. I probably should have been a little bit more planning for harder times. Everybody should do that, plan for hard times, regardless if it's good times. She's a plan for the worst case scenario. And I got a little carried away, and I think the Almighty kind of like, you need to go back work for somebody else. And that's the feeling I'm learning now. Coming back into it, and I got a lot more drive in doing it, and that's why I'm liking this idea of doing these budget knives out of high carbon recycled springs, and I'm having a lot more fun. I was getting burned out as well, but yeah, it's good to have mentors. I've got mentors for the podcast. We got Robert, my friend Mallory, who Mallory, shout out to Mallory. I met her a few years back. She does the marketing and everything else. She ha really helped me get to where I'm at today. Then I met Rob, and then Rob's kind of kicked it a little higher. Mallory still comes in, and I shoot her ideas, and she shakes her head like, "All right, but this is how you do it," and everything else. And I'm very thankful for that resource. Yeah.
So, what is the conspiracy theory?
So, what is? Thank you for getting me on that. What is one of the wildest conspiracy theories you've ever heard, and kind of, or you may have, and such like that? Just something weird.
Oh, I don't think we ever set foot on the moon. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think we got there because I know that. How can the electronics work so well when I'm in my basement in this year and I lose signal sometimes just from upstairs to downstairs? How did they do this 50 years ago? I don't think that we ever set foot on the moon. And there's a reason why we haven't been back because we were never there in the first place.
All right, I'll counter that. I think we have, but there's also maybe we sent stuff to the moon and landed that, but actual people maybe not.
Okay.
I mean it's wild. I mean, now you got again, everything on the internet. If it's on the internet, it must be true, right? We're starting to see pictures. India has coming out with some real. Have you seen some of the high res pictures of the moon that from their orbiters that India is doing? Man, that
Yeah.
is some wild stuff. That is, I mean, just beautiful. I think we've been there with machines. I kind of hope. I asked my dad that question. He graduated when we landed on the moon. 69. That's the year he graduated. He said that day they set the record, world record for champagne sold around the world.
So what is your conspiracy
mine
theory?
can, oh, which one do you want to go with? Here's your really dumb thing. I do this to my kid. It says, just to kind of challenge her thinking every now and then, it says, is the sky really blue, or is that the really cup, or is we just been all told that our whole lives, and that's actually green?
Well, what is blue? It's all, I mean, if you really think about it. It's like, can you smell the number nine? No, you can't. So it's all perspective. It might be totally different than what we think. Well, we've been taught certain things, like the blue is blue, but how do we know blue's? Who wrote the rule on who what blue is?
I mean, is that really up, or is that down? I mean, or is it sideways? I mean, I do that stuff to my kids, and it drives them nuts. She's like, "Your dad is like, well, thank you. I try to be weird."
Yeah, I mean, and I think that goes with anything. Things that some people might think are you're right. Well, it's your opinion if it's right or if it's wrong. So I think a lot of it, especially in today's world, a lot of people think one thing is one thing, but it may not be another. But if it's not your reality, it's not your, like, I don't believe, in my opinion, that if you're a child of God, that you should ever be poor. I believe that if he owns it all and I'm a direct inheritance of his, I should own it all as long as I know that he owns it all and I'm just borrowing it. So but a lot of people think, well, if you're a Christian, you need to be downtrodden, you need to be pious, you need to be poor. And I don't believe in that. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion. And it all goes back to opinions.
I'm gonna agree with you a little bit. I think, own it all, but also be humble and charitable. Help
Yeah.
those that without help those with charity without, oh, there's what's the word, to your detriment to yourself.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your family first, your family, your network, and your network. Yes, you can help people, but there is some people out there No matter how much you throw at it, you can't help them. If they're not willing to take that help and forge it into something that's going to benefit them, to get them up on a platform or to a stable rock, they're going to sink. If that does that make sense?
And also, even in a good word, it says, faith without works is dead.
Yes.
So I can believe all I want that I'm gonna be successful, I'm gonna have a successful business, but if I'm not putting in the work, then I'm not gonna be successful. I mean, even when Jesus Christ, even when almost all of his healings, the person had to do something in order to get the healing. They
Yes.
had to pick up their mat, they had to whatever, but they had to do something to get the healing. And I believe that, faith without works is dead. So if you want to be successful, you got to put in the work.
You know, I've met a few people out there that, oh, don't go to the doctor, that God will heal it. Well, I don't think God created for the brain and give us the free will to learn and to create things in this world and figure out, health or. I mean, there's some stuff out there debatable if it's really helping healthy to take or really doing good for your health. Our medical system is, I think, is all profit driven, and I think they lost the sight of actually helping people. But yes, can God do it? Oh yes, can God? Can God take and all of a sudden, boom, there'd be knives there? Yes, he can. I absolutely have that faith. Can God? I can set a plate on my dinner table, and can God just put a great steak and a full dinner there? Yes, he can. Is he going to do it? No, because we have our free will, and it says in the Bible, you'll by the sweat of your brow you'll make your daily bread. And I don't think in our for our experience, if we don't have that challenge or that little bit of struggle, oh, I was going somewhere with this, and I just kind of died on this. Help me out here, Richard. You know what I'm trying to say here?
I get what you're saying, but yeah, you have to. Like, I know when I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, I'm in charge of the work, you're in charge of the results. So I'm just going to put in as much work as I can, do as be as beneficial as I can. You're in charge of the results. With just a glance, I can have a multi-trillion dollar business with just a glance from your eye. So for me, I just okay, I'm just going to get in, I'm going to put in the work, and he's in charge of the results. And once I realize that he's the CEO and I'm just working for him, then it's all going to work out.
And I've had the experience, bringing in a forging and such. There's times I've gone, we like to call it the steel has its own way. And for me, saying the steel has its own way, that's God right there. God's the steel. I mean, God, we are God. God is us. If that makes any sense. He's in control of everything. There's times I'll be out there forging a blade, and I've got this idea, and I start working the steel and heating it up and forcing it and tapping it here and pushing the steel this direction. And there's sometimes that even right before my very eyes, even though I'm running the hammer, I'm running the forge, or I'm running the trip hammer. That knife comes out way better, or something comes out of it comes like, I want to go. Like one time, I was trying to make a buoy, and I got a little carried away. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, or maybe I wasn't supposed to pay attention, but the chef knife came out. It was a really nice looking chef knife. I don't know if I still got, excuse me. I don't know if I still got pictures of that or not. But I looked at it, I stopped and like, well, this ain't a buoy, but hold on a second, put it back in the forge, bring it out, tap it here. I'm like, all right, I see what the direction you're going with. And I when I'm in the shop working, I'll talk to God. I'll pray. That's my way how I pray. If I really need to really commune with God, I'll get on my knees and stuff like that. But I like to talk to God when I'm making one, when I'm struggling with something in my head or a problem or how do I get here? I'll do that as I'm working. And it's scary because it might not be, a lot of us want that instant gratification. We can download that, everything else, but There's been times that it's within a half hour, a day, which scares the hell out of me. It's like, that was a little faster than I thought, but sometimes it comes out a month. For me, I think I've been being hammered on to learn patience. I've never been a real patient person. Ask Kevin, he'll tell you, or a lot of some of my friends, I'm not very patient. Sometimes I want to gallop right into the finish line, but this whole process of doing a business and everything else and where I want to go, I've shared with you the steakhouse idea I've got. It's just not time for that yet. I want it. It's still going to happen. It just, I got to go through, trust that process, keep the vision, but trust the process.
But also some people have to realize, like there's an old Garth Brooks song says, sometimes God answers all his prayers, sometimes he answers no.
Yes.
Because maybe he has something better for you lined up down the road. So sometimes we can push and push and push, and if it doesn't happen yet, maybe God's saying, I want you here, but you keep on going this other direction. Why don't you listen to me for a little bit? Let me guide you. Because what good is it if we go to heaven and realize God has 40,000 other things he wanted us to have, but because we pushed for that one thing, we never got the other things that he wanted us to have.
Yeah, we get, I think we get that tunnel vision. We want this path that we want for ourselves 100%, but and we just want to cut all the obstacle out and go through it. But how are we going to learn if we don't have that obstacles in our way? It's like you hear people, well, if there's a God, how come there's so much pain or suffering and such like that? Well, my answer to that, I've thought about it on and off. If we had total joy all the time, how would we know it without our pain or heartache or any of that? How would we know what pure joy, pure love, any of that? What do you say on that?
Yeah, and I agree, but it's kind of like being a parent. You want to make sure that your kids are happy. You want to make sure that when you see joy in their faith, in their face, but you also know there's going to be times when they're going to fall, skin their knees, they're going to get their heart broken. But long as okay, they're still my children. I love my children. And I think that's what he does. He's like, okay, I know there's going to be heartache. I know there's going to be triumph. There's going to be stuff that they got to go through, heartbreak. But as long as they know I'm their father, that I love them, everything's going to be okay in the end.
Yeah, I got a good example of that. Daisy's turning 16. She's gonna go on next Monday to finish up her driver's license deal. She's like, "Well, if I pass," it's like, "Well, think more positive. You're gonna pass it. Quit thinking negative on it." Well, it's hard not to. Since I get it, it's easy to dwell on the negative. But for me, it's like, oh man, she's gonna have her driver's license. I mean, she's a pretty decent driver. I think she's a lot better driver when I'm not in the car with her. When you're doing stuff or learning, when you got your parent next to you, and you're like, oh, we got to do it this their way. And so for me, it's like, ooh, she's gonna have that. You got to have that faith, a little more trust. Yes, things can happen. I've lost one child before. Hopefully, I never have to go through. Lord willing, I never have to go through that again. And it's kind of terrifying a little bit to, she's grown up and everything else, but it's like having faith in God. You just got to take that leap and have that faith. So I hope that makes sense.
Yep, and I think we're going to be doing an episode, all four of us, on
Yes.
that, talking about loss and talking about how to not overcome it, but how to deal with trauma and grief.
In a positive way, not let it, and I think I've done a pretty good job on that. I think there's some stuff that I'm still working through. But for the most part, I've learned the knife is not as sharp on that as time has gone. At first I didn't deal with it correctly. We'll dive into that. We'll get that scheduled here soon on that. We're gonna open up about that whole situation, about my daughter Amelia, who passed away 16 years ago this coming November. And my goal for that is to help maybe people who've gone through loss of a child or loss of anything. I hope that they can use that as a basically a brick to help step them forward Such like that. Well, I don't want to manipulate all your time here. I see we're going a little bit over an hour, which is awesome. Richard, I want to turn over the next 5 minutes for you. Your words of wisdom, things you've wanted to share on other podcasts. Take the next 5, 10 minutes, and it's all your. I'm going to be quiet and sit here and listen to your words of wisdom moment, and then we'll wrap things up.
Well, I'm not going to take 5, 10 minutes. The only thing I want to hit on today is when I end my show, every day that I end my show, I take something that I learned from Joel Osteen, where he says that every morning we wake up, we can either be a victim or we can be a victor. And we have that choice every morning when we wake up. And I have a t-shirt on underneath my hoodie that says, "Today I decide." And every morning we wake up, we make the decision, do I want to be a victim today or do I want to be a victor today? And guys, you don't have to be the same person tonight when you go to bed as the same person that woke up this morning. Your life can change in a moment's notice. And we were talking, especially we're going to be talking about that, talking about your Amelia, things can change in a moment. So whether good or bad, you can either choose to be a victim or a victor. And that's what I want to get out of this podcast, that is, as long as you know that you have a choice every day to be happy, to be healthy, to be whole, that's all your choice. If you want to be depressed, if you want to be broke, if you want to be broke, busted, and disgusted, that's your choice too. But I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're no longer interested in being broke, busted, and disgusted. You want to sharpen your knife. You want to make sure that you're taking the turning point. So if you're listening to this podcast, make sure that, first of all, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a written comment, a 5-star written comment, because every one written comment is worth 10 5 stars on iTunes. So make sure that, because Michael's doing this out of the love of his heart. This is his passion. He's doing it because he loves you guys. So make sure that you give him that honor and show him some love. That's all I wanted to say, brother.
Awesome. Oh, I had a question right there. I hate that. When you ever get that where you got a question pop in my mind and you go to answer it and it just goes, shoo. That's just what happened. Yes, okay, come back. Just come back. Where can they find you? Where can they find your book? Follow you, find your podcast, everything you do.
Well, they can just type in Vertical Momentum Podcast. We're on the first 8 pages of Google. So all you got to do is type in Vertical Momentum Podcast and everything will show up.
How about your books?
They can find them on Amazon. And actually, I'm going to offer anybody that's listening to this show, if they reach out to you with their email, I will send them my book for free.
Ooh.
I will send them the ebook like I sent you. I will send them the ebook for free. It's normally $12.99. They get the ebook for free and they will get a 1-hour coaching call
Ooh.
as long as they just send your email and you give me the email and I'll send them the book and set up a coaching call with them.
All right. And you can find the you can actually go to mikesmasterknife.com, send me that, put in words Richard Kaufman, Vertical Moment, and we'll send me your email and I'll send that over to Richard. So that's an awesome offer. That is a hell of an offer. I didn't see that coming out of nowhere. So, well, Richard, I appreciate your time. Any advice for me? As I know we kind of I wasn't exactly awake when we first started. I was trying to wake up and everything else. So, any advice you could give me, kind of critique this, take a couple seconds and critique this program and tell me what you think so far. Any suggestions?
Just keep kicking ass and taking names. Make sure that you have your own swag.
Yes.
Make sure that you're wearing your swag every time the camera goes on. Make sure you have swag that they can see. All I see is a great t-shirt. I don't
Well,
see.
good point. I need to get that. I need to put that back in white. It was kind of a last minute, one of those last minute ideas. Hey, I want this, and God, I was like, okay, this needs to be white, and I definitely need to get me a hat for this. So,
And maybe
yes.
down the road, maybe sign up to maybe do StreamYard or something to where you can actually have your ticker on the bottom of your
Yes.
website and where you can have your business logo in one of the corners.
That is my goal. I looked at that first. It would just wasn't in my budget at the time. I figured I'd start here and build up to that and get that revenue coming in so we can do that as well and do a I want to start a little promo. One thing I did forget, I'm going to back up real quick because we was talking earlier. Mentioned our friend Eric Rance and 22 Salute. When
Yes.
we talk about collaborations, we are I got to get the knife engraved and get it sent out to him. We're going to try to work with them, do some commission on commission type knives to help them. We've kind of I set a price for them so they could help so that way they can take that profits from the on their end and push forward with their mission at 22 Salute. So shout out to our friend Eric Grant
Yep,
and
and if you
22
guys
Salute.
haven't listened to that episode, go back and find that episode. That's a life-changing episode.
How what and you made comments on that so that I was kind of worried and everything else. I hope that I think is it the end of this week or is that already came out? I think the big announcement. I'll have to reach out with Eric on that. Maybe get I'll reach out and see if we get on him for another 34 to an hour on that and see on his big announcement. I think that came out, but I don't want to say anything like on that. But let's wrap this up. Any cool interviews real quick coming up besides the
Oh, like we got
with.
the cowboy coming up. I just had somebody on my show this week. We're going to talk about how to get rich, how to get wealthy the right way, how to get wealthy just using $20 a week. So that episode will be dropping soon. So
Ooh.
we have a lot of great episodes. I have about 8 or 10 episodes I haven't released yet. So we're releasing weekly. So every week we're putting out a new episode. So just stay tuned.
Awesome. And that's my goal here is to try to do at least 1 to 2 episodes a week, record and get them out. Right now, this episode will probably drop November, not the 3rd, but the following Monday after the 3rd. I can't think of the day. I looked at it and then so that's how far out I am scheduled for things. This is also going to be on YouTube on the American Bladesmith channel. So check that out. I know Richard follows it. If Richard follows it, why aren't you following this? Or if you're following this, why aren't you following Richard? So again, like you said, like, subscribe, share, comment. Those comments really, really help. If you can't buy a knife, a like, share, and a comment does really great for marketing for
Yep.
getting it out there. So Richard, the comeback coach, I Kaufman, I really appreciate the host of Vertical Moment. Thank you for your time. If you ever need your knife touched up, send it out. We'll clean, get it a good hell of an edge. If not, I can give you some tips how to do it at home.
I'm actually gonna go out and do some work in my garage today, and I'll be using that knife, so thank
Ooh.
you.
Hey, let's see some pictures and videos of that if you maybe a reel or two. I mean, I'm just saying that'd be kind of cool.
That sounds awesome.
I'm just remember, I'm not liable for stitches.
Okay.
All right, so thank you, Richard. We're going to wrap it up here on Behind the Anvil. As we say in the shop, stay sharp, America. Richard, stay with me right after this. Thank you, and we'll talk to you on the next one.